Everyone, I received a text on Friday night from someone that was quite concerned as they were hearing that Murray Place was going up in flames, and thankfully it was a couple of doors down, but I did have my suspicions, because Rosie a few weeks ago came to me and she said, you know, I've got a real heart. We need to think about getting a new building and a new campus because, you know, we've outgrown the one that we've got. And she said, I've been up at the Bannockburn Hospital and there's a site there and we need to be praying about this and thinking about this. And I wondered if God was answering her prayers and maybe not this week. Although it does raise an interesting issue for us as a church, which is, you know, what does the future look like for SBC? This is the stewardship week, so we talk about money. In fact, someone sent me an email out of the blue who said, we know you're going to be talking about money now, so I thought I'd just write to you and talk to you about it. But it's the time that we talk about these things. And we as a church are facing incredible financial challenges, probably some of the greatest that we face since I've been here, as we attempt to continue the various things that God is calling us to do. And it raises a whole series of questions for us. And it sort of brings me back to my maxim, which is churches don't have financial problems, they have vision problems. And that when a church is struggling financially, it's possibly because they've lost a little bit of a sense of what they're about, of what their vision is about. And so as I prayed and was thinking about how to do this, because it's a little bit like Christmas. It comes around every year, and I know, and then you think, how are we going to do finance this year and talk about finance? And as I was praying about it and thinking about it, I felt, you know, I want to talk about vision. Normally I do this in June, but I want to talk about vision vis-a-vis our finances because the two are interrelated. And it's our desire to see God work and develop. Now, the passage that we read there, we saw a passage where there was a sense of loss. The in Joel, if you've got your Bibles in Joel chapter 2, we see the prophet saying, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You know, sometimes in life we encounter situations where we feel like we've planted the heart and we've planted the grain, we'd seen it grow, and we had seen all the potential of things, and then suddenly this swarm of locusts arrives and it consumes it. I cannot imagine, if you're an African farmer, what that feels like. You know, your entire life you've invested in this, you've given to this, and suddenly it just doesn't yield the way that you were anticipating it turning out. And there's a sense, a deep sense of loss. To some extent, I think we've had some years like that as a church. We've seen, we looked a few years ago at Family Life Center, chaplaincy, at how we develop these things. And we felt the way to go was partnerships so that we would have a resource base that would provide for the development of these ministries. And we looked to those ministries to develop and grow and be resourced in a wider context. And the reality is that that hasn't happened, and those partnerships have failed in different ways. And that's an incredibly sad thing, because it kind of means that it's left us sitting there going, well, what does the future look like in terms of these things? We thought we knew where we were going. We thought we knew. And it means that we have to sit back and say, what does it look like in terms of our engagement with what's going on? Same in terms of some of the things that we looked at in developing regional strategies. And we tried various things a couple of years back. And just being overtaken by one thing or another, we just never got a chance to develop those regional strategies in the way that we wanted to. And I believe that we've reaped the rewards of that in terms of some people who aren't here this morning that I think would be here this morning if we had actually secured those regional strategies in the way that we wanted to. Because people haven't felt as connected to SBC as they should have been. And so it leaves a sense of, you know, what has God done? And as I read this, there is a wonderful promise. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. I've just come off the back of a sermon series on speaking positively. And so I'm getting into naming and claiming it. And but hey, there is a positive statement that at the moment we are going to have plenty to eat until you are full. And we are going to praise the name of our God as we see the wonders that God is going to do. And I believe as we go into our future, we're going to see that. That's the future I'm signing up for. And that's the future I'm speaking out in terms of where we're going. But it also brings me back to really what we sense the vision of SBC was a few years ago, interestingly enough, related to this very passage in Joel 2, which we find in Acts chapter 1. You know, we spent over a year and a half just seeking God, and we really did seek God, saying, God, what is it you want of us? Where do you want us to go? What kind of church do you want us to be? And we felt God very much say to us, I want you to be an Acts 1 church. And you might have heard of Acts 2 churches, but maybe not Acts 1 churches, but this was an Acts 1 church. And that Acts 1 church focused very much around Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it said, Jesus says to the disciples, I want you to wait here until the Spirit comes. And then you will be empowered to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we felt God was speaking to us. And we felt that, you know, here was the vision, which was that God wanted us to be a Spirit-filled and empowered witnessing community. Again, as I look over the last years, I'm not sure how much we've realized of that vision. But that was the vision that God called us to and asked us to be. I want you to be an Acts 1 church. I want you to be a church that is Spirit-filled. I want you to be a church that is operating in the power of the Spirit, not in human power. And I want you to be a church that is witnessing effectively to the community. You know, Jesus was talking about a church, the sort of church that he was sending out into the world to transform it. He was talking about building a church to reach the unchurched. You know, and that's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to effect. We're called to be a church that reaches the unchurched, that impacts our community, that impacts the world around us. We felt God speak to us as well through that same passage. And as we asked, how are we going to do this? How are we going to be a church that really starts to impact the world around us? And we felt, you know, that Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth thing, that was really a strategic statement, which was saying, think about what you're going to do locally to reflect who I am. Think about what you're going to do regionally to reflect who I am. And think about what you're going to do beyond. And that's everything outside of the regions that people come from. So that's in the nation of Scotland to the ends of the earth and how God wants to work through us. And that still holds true in terms of what God calls us. You see, if we're going to build a church to reach the unchurched, we have to work in all three of these spheres. We have to be effective in these spheres. We need to know the outworking of the Spirit of God in these spheres. We looked at the area of local, and I just want to touch on some of this morning. In terms of our local ministry, what we really, these are things that we kind of believe are best done centrally. So the stuff that you benefit from coming together. We identified worship as a key thing. You know, I believe that we are called to provide a centralized worship center. Someone was asking me about, oh, you planning to plant churches and things like that? And my answer is, no, we're not. Not distinctive, separate churches. That's at the moment, I don't think that's what we're called to. It may change, but we are called to provide a worshiping center where people come in from a large distance to come and worship God. Now, you might be saying, well, what's that got to do with reaching the lost? Well, I think it has a lot to do with reaching the lost. Because when we come together and we worship together, people are attracted into that. There's a big debate in missionology about should you have attractional models or sending models. And I think we really need both. We need attractional models and we need sending models. But we need attractional models. We need things that engage people and people say, hey, I want to go along. And as they come into church, they say, God's working. There's something here. There's something I want to know more about. And just think of your own experience in terms of church. If you go into church and there's seven people there and all sitting 25 feet away from each other and the building is freezing, and I know we sometimes don't get temperatures right here, but the building is freezing and it's uncomfortable, and you go to the toilets and it just doesn't smell right, and you know, and nobody talks to you, and you know, the ceiling's falling in on you, and you think, what kind of God do these people serve? And you just don't go back. This is why things like buildings are important. This is why an quality worship experience is important. This is why coming with hearts that are right to God so that we engage. And actually, this is one of the things I believe, I went away in sabbatical and I came back, so it was good to do any analysis. But I actually think, maybe I'd just forgotten the worship, but I actually feel our worship has deepened in some way as we worship. There's a sense of God's Spirit, or I feel a greater sense of God's Spirit. But that worshiping center requires resource. It may require a new building in the future, as Rosie is praying. And you may want to join Rosie in her prayers for that. And next part. Anyway, no, I better not go there. But worship is important, and it's really important, and it's important that we come together as God's people to worship Him, because everything that we do comes out of that. It is birthed from worship, because witness comes from our worship of God, of Christ as our Lord and Savior. We then saw it involved youth and children's work. Again, I fundamentally believe that these things are best done centrally. Mainly because, in terms of the numbers, it's very hard to do it locally. You know, if you, again, have a young person or a child and they go along to a group and there's three other children there or three other young people, it's not so good. But you come along and there are 50 young people and there's a vibrant program of all sorts of activities and things, then we up the chances of those children continuing with God and wanting to walk with God. And we just have a phenomenal youth work. And anyone who's involved with it or engages with it will know this. I mean, it does remarkable things. I like doing baptisms on Easter Sundays. And so I just put a thing to the pastors and say, guys, anybody we know want to get baptized? Because I think it's good to have baptisms on Easter Sunday. And the youth department came back and said, we've got five people that want baptized. And I was just like, yay, way to go. And I don't even need to know what their program is. You know, but I know that they're yielding fruit and results. You know, but to sustain that, it costs. We've got several youth workers and a youth pastor, but doing a phenomenal job. The other thing that I know about youth is that 75% of those who become Christians become Christians before the age of 24. I won't ask how many of you became Christians before the age of 24. But in terms of outreach and impact, it's where our greatest impact can be. That's why as a church, we have always said we will resource our youth work. It's certainly in my head, it's one of our priorities. It's like a priority system that needs to be resourced, our young people, because of what it does. There's also social engagement and evangelism. And one of the things that in our thinking, and some of you will know that we've been talking quite a lot about this in the last year, through gatherings and surveys and various meetings. And we've been kind of saying, okay, what does social action and evangelism look like for SBC? And we felt that we shouldn't really hold these two apart. They should be held together. And that social action and evangelism need to be understood as mutually reinforcing. You see, our social action gives us credibility to share the gospel, but we have to share the gospel on the back of it. A lot of us don't leverage the credibility that our social action gives us through preaching the gospel. And you'll know last week I felt, you know, we need to recover something of that. And we really do evangelism and social action in various ways. Our main evangelism vehicle is Alpha. And I love Alpha. It's the way that principally the people get converted, come along again. I could ask how many people here have been converted through Alpha. And it's just a great program where we continue to be our mainstay. But it's just not enough. You know, and other people have been looking at, we had a few events under the banner of Solas in pubs. Last year, and we ran a couple of them, and there's a sense of we need to be doing more of that, but we need to be even thinking more about this. I was hearing about a church, a friend of mine, she's in a church in Wales, and they just started going out on the streets, and they just started going out and introducing and talking to people and saying, do you want to know Jesus? And they would talk through this thing, and then they would pray with people. And you were sitting there going, what? And they just started to do this. And they actually took it out all over Wales. And literally, by the end of the thing, thousands of people were making commitments to Christ because they discovered that actually people aren't as hostile as we actually think. And that actually where the church is a bit more overt, people respond. I liked it. I was hearing of another agency. And this person was saying, you know, they work quite a lot with schools, and they were saying, you know, we haven't had anybody complain about us and the gospel this year. And you know what my goal is? My goal is to get somebody to complain about us and the gospel this year. And then I'll know we're starting to push the envelope. And as Christians, the truth is, especially in our social action and what we've been doing, we've been scared to push the envelope. But maybe we need to start thinking about pushing the envelope. We have our Family Life Center and the amazing work it does. And the opportunities that that now affords us. It's exciting as Family Life comes back under the auspices of SBC, but it also presents us with a significant resourcing challenge. Because we were hoping that we would have agencies and partners, and now we don't. But this work continues to be a vital work in terms of touching families. And I am one of the things that deeply grieves me in terms of our society is just how broken it is. And, you know, to be able to do something to bring healing and be there to actually address the issues, because many of the issues that young people face and our children face are because of this disintegration of family life. And so to be able to have that and be witnessing through that and demonstrate that. All of these things are great. But they should be driven by a sense of building a church to reach the unchurched. That's what we should be driven by. And the danger always is that when we have all these various elements is that we lose sight of that. One of the things, I believe that churches automatically default to certain default settings, right? So it's like, you heard the law of entropy. which is if you don't put any energy into something, it will basically look like porridge. And everything gravitates towards that. So you need to constantly put energy into stuff to maintain form and direction. And church is a bit like this. You know, if you don't constantly work at it, then churches default to unhealthy default settings. They just automatically fall into them. And one of there are a few default settings that churches fall into, but one of the default settings that churches fall into is this notion of mission to maintenance. People usually put it the other way around, but we go from thinking about we're going to be outward looking to actually looking at how do we sustain ourselves. You see, as churches, and maybe as SBC, we have to think a little bit about this. We create churchgoers rather than disciple-making disciples. You know, sometimes in my mentality, I sit there and think, are we full on Sunday morning or roundabout full? That's okay. Rather than, are we really creating disciples who make disciples? Is the church really outward-looking, or are we just trying to maintain an institution? You know, we can tell very quickly that we're creating an institution because we start to do stuff and we don't understand why we're doing it. We maintain stuff for the sake of maintaining stuff rather than seeing it as part of what we're about in reaching our communities with the gospel. And you know, as a church, we constantly have to fight against this. We have to remind ourselves of why we're in the business of seeing Christ work through his church and community. See, in reality, I don't preach like this, but in reality, many of us don't really care that much if we reach those outside the church. You know, that's the truth of it, if we're really honest. Because actually, as long as we're quite comfortable, as long as we're getting catered for, as long as we're the focus of church activity, and there's something there for me, and the service is the way I want it, or the worship group plays the songs I like, or there are people there looking after me, or there are just the things that meet my needs, then actually I'm not really that bothered whether we reach the unchurched or not. That's why churches automatically get into maintenance rather than mission mode, because they get into a mode where they're saying it's about us. I actually was hearing about a group again. This is the other thing that when you build community, and community I think is the key word for us in 2018, but the problem is there are two types of community. There are closed community and open community. And the problem is if you get really good community, it can get closed. And then people turn around and they say, we don't want anyone else to join our community because it might spoil it for us. I was actually hearing of a church where that was occurring. That, you know, they had groups and people didn't want others to join the groups because it might spoil it for those that were already in the group. And when I heard it, I thought, isn't that an incredible indictment in terms of the church? You know, that is really what it's about, isn't it? My community, my needs, what I want, rather than reaching the lost. And again, I always look at, you know, what do people give me hassle about? And I think they don't really give me a hassle about, we haven't seen that many baptisms this year. You know, how many people are getting converted? How many people have been brought to Christ? And that's because out there, many of us don't really care that much if we don't reach outside the church. We don't care as long as the buildings are open, as long as there are folks in the church, as long as we sustain and service what we have to service. And again, as a pastor and a personal reflection, sometimes I get lost in that because we get so busy maintaining everything and trying to look after everything, we forget why we signed up, which was to build a church to reach the unchurched. And the reason we do what we do in every single area of the life of our church is designed so that it will make us more effective in reaching our community. actually think, and again, this is something Rob's been very keen at in terms of, that actually we evaluate our ministries in terms of this. And we say, if it's not helping us do that, then actually we have to consider whether God's calling us to do it. See, how do we change this? Well, I think we change this by looking at ourselves and evaluating where we're at. What does it take to build a church that truly reaches the unchurched? Well, first of all, it takes a commitment which reaches beyond just turning up on a Sunday. It takes a commitment that transcends that. And please do turn up on a Sunday. I like talking to you all. But you know, it's not enough. It's not enough. And you know, for the day of judgment, we stand before God and we say, we built a church of churchgoers and we were full every Sunday, which was better than some of the other churches in the neighborhood. And Jesus is going to go, I'm not impressed. Because that's not what I called you to do. I didn't call you to create a church of churchgoers. And so we've got to recognize that it takes more than just turning up on a Sunday. Firstly, I think it involves a commitment to community. And you know, this is stewardship. And you know, what's this got to do with stewardship? Well, this is at the heart of stewardship, because it means that you have to take some of your time and you have to carve it out for building relationships with other brothers and sisters. Whether it's in prayer cells, whether it's in small groups, whether it's in community-based meetings, you've got to find a way to start building relationships and creating community. You know, I think there is a dearth of community in SBC. And you know, I listen to people sometimes when they're either thinking about leaving SBC or, and that's the kind of message I get. You know, we don't feel that connected. And the reason people don't feel connected is because there aren't communities. And the reason there aren't communities isn't because we haven't got some centralized program going on. It's because people aren't committed to create community. It takes time. It's a choice. It's how you use your resource. Secondly, it necessitates a desire to involve others. You see, you know, there are closed communities and there are open communities. I'm just going to pick on Russ here to give you a concrete illustration. Russ has been playing the keyboard. See, Russ can build community. And Russ will create an event for some lads. And he'll say, come on round to my house and we'll have some cheese and we'll chat and we'll talk and we'll get... And you know, and there's like a group of maybe half a dozen or a dozen of us that go on. It creates a WhatsApp messaging, so we all get the messages, hundreds of them. We have to turn it off eventually. And, you know, because he's sending us pictures of the cheese and everything. And it's like, and then you turn up, okay? But instead of having like a wee closed group, there are half a dozen other people that Russ has met that week that he's invited along. Come and be part of this. Come and be part of this. And then you have community. See, the other mentality is, oh no, we want to just keep it to the three of us, or the two of us, because we don't want anybody else to spoil what's happening. We need to get that mentality in terms of building community. But thirdly, it requires the support of our resources. You know, we cannot build a church to reach the unchurched. We cannot build a church that really provides the kind of worship experience that I think will attract 21st century people. We really can't build a church that will have an effective youth ministry that will impact the life of young people in the way that I so want to see that. We won't have a church that really engages its community in social action and evangelism in the way that God wants us to without the necessary resources to do that. And the fact is, it takes a commitment. And again, often the way that we give, and I know there are some very generous givers, so if you're a generous giver, this doesn't pertain to you, so you can just turn off at the moment. But if you're not, some of us kind of go on automatic pilot in terms of the way that we give. It's not something that engages our being and we say, you know, I want to be part of a church that reaches the unchurched, and I'm willing to support this with my time and my money because I believe in the mission of this church and I believe what we're about. And I believe it's important that young people hear the gospel. I believe it's important that we impact the life of our community through social action and engage them so that people see healing and wholeness and transformation. I believe in this, and therefore I'm going to give to this. A lot of us just fly an automatic pilot. One of the stats that the treasurer shared with me this year, and he said, the reality is that most people haven't adjusted their giving in the last few years. You know, there's been no increase in their giving. And I appreciate people are in different circumstances and situations. But you think, is that because we're just flying on automatic pilot? Is that because we're people who don't really have a sense of we want to be part of SBC and that mission to reach the unreached? Is it because we're a community that really just wants to be a community of churchgoers that doesn't really ask us or require too much of us? Or are we a people who really want to be a spirit-filled, empowered, witnessing community that sees transformation? This year, as you receive all the budget stuff and everything, and you see the challenge of our finances, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what you are committed to. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the promise of your word. I thank you that there is a promise that the years that the locusts have eaten will be restored. And Lord, I just pray for a sense of that same vision that drove Joel and that drove the disciples in Acts 1, where they understood you pouring out your spirit so that they could reach a broken world. Lord, help us to be a church that does not default to maintenance but are driven by mission. Help us to be a church that continues to have a passion to reach those outside of our community, to see our world transformed and people to know you as their Lord and Savior. I ask this in your name. Amen.